You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from Nashville,
here
is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Look at that. No punchline. He just played it straight. Parker Olson, thank you very much. Good morning. Hey there, Wisconsin. Nice to have you here on a Friday morning, October 3rd, 2025, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Maybe you're down here in Tennessee with me someplace watching on Facebook or YouTube. It's nice to have you along, wrapping up your work week, starting what's going to be a great weekend, especially if you're a Brewers fan right here. I've got a few questions for you today. First off, including Parker, have you spent part of your overnight listening to Taylor Swift's new album?
I listened to the title track and that is all.
That's the one with Sabrina Carpenter, right?
It is.
Life of a Showgirl. And yes. that was pretty good.
It was good. You know what, Pat? I am not a Swiftie. However, I must say I approve of what I've heard thus far.
Okay.
Have you heard the whole album? That's kind of my impression.
I've heard about half. I got through half of it while getting things set today. And so I've also got additional questions about this album, for example.
Oh, boy.
For everybody, did your girlfriend write a love song about you based on your birthstone? No? Okay.
No.
That's also not the only song she apparently wrote about Travis Kelce, but we can't talk about the other one. It is extremely intimate and begs the question, how many double entendres can you fit into a song before radio stations get nervous about playing it?
Oh.
Yeah.
I will have to find that one.
She's happy right now, shall we say. So yeah. But anyway, the half a dozen of the 12 songs that I've heard, good stuff. It's going to get a lot of radio play. It would be anyway, because it's Tay Tay, but she promised a more upbeat album, especially now that she's in love, and she delivers on that. So there you go. Look at me, caught up with pop culture for a hot minute.
Wow. Good job, Pat. Look at you.
Parker's applauding me. All right. Let's get to the other question here. Are you ready for the Cubs? How do you feel about it, Parker? He's thinking.
You know, Pat, I'll be honest with you here.
Yeah.
I hope that at some point in the next week and a half, I get to see a little kid born and raised in Chicago wearing his PCA jersey. I hope I see that kid cry on national television.
Oh, my. We're not rooting for children to be crying.
Gloves are off. Brewers, sweep the Cubs, please. I hate Chicago Cubs so much.
A sweep would be lovely, but you know, at this point, you just want the best 3 out of 5, and the first two games are at American Family Field starting tomorrow. So there it is. It's the Cubs beating the Padres yesterday and advancing out of the wild card round, which means now that we know who the opponent is, we also know the game times. Game one will be tomorrow. In the afternoon, first pitch is at 1:08, and Parker, you're actually going to have to grab this for me when the pregame gets started across stations on the Civic Media Radio Network here.
I do believe it's at 12:35 on Saturday. 12:35
sounds right on some of these Civic Media stations here. So again, it's a Saturday afternoon game. 1:08 first pitch, and then game two is Monday night at American Family Field, and it's a late one.
Yeah.
First pitch is at 8:08 p.m.
Yeah.
So this thing's going to get done closer to 11.
That pregame starts at 7:35 on Monday.
And Tuesday morning show is also going to sound a little rough, much like after the Sunday night Packer games. Yeah. And then game three will be at Wrigley Field, and hopefully that's all that's needed for that kind of a series. So,
yeah.
And I've got it's fun to watch the Brewers fans kind of complaining about the MLB graphic for the playoffs. It features the Yankees and the Dodgers prominently. Mm-hmm. Two teams that barely made the playoffs, you know, yep. were scrapping for a wild card, but they're the ones played up while the Brewers and the other teams kind of are second fiddle behind all of them. It's like, well, that's your major markets for you. Yep. Yeah. Even if they're the weakest team, that's the one the networks are going to be rooting for. So Tony, not all that into it, writes on YouTube, baseball season is still happening. I thought it all ended yesterday.
Yeah. Sorry about that,
Tony. Sorry. The Cleveland Guardians did not advance. They were defeated by the Detroit Tigers. So, yeah. And Tony did ask earlier if I'd heard the new Taylor Swift album yet. Yes, of course I did. So
there you go.
The question is, did you and Alicia, Parker, that'd be in reference to wishing that children will cry next week across the Windy City.
Not for long, just like while they're in the stadium.
Just long enough to crush some hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I've been a Wisconsin sports fan my entire life. I've had my fair share of that. I feel like it's something that you need.
Look, I get it when people go, Pat, you were born and raised in Minnesota. How did you so easily become a Packers fan when you married a nice Wisconsin farm girl? And the answer is that during my childhood of the 1970s, I mean, the 70s decade, like all the other decades, 10 years long. And yet somehow the Vikings managed to lose 13 Super Bowls during that time. I mean, it was only four, but it felt like it four different times having your hopes and dreams crushed. So I really did not have any problem turning my back on that bunch of losers and embracing the green and gold. So here I am.
Here you
are. A nice boy from the Chippewa Valley. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
All right. Still coming up on the show today. We are going to be talking about some of the issues that are in the news. About an hour, a little less than an hour from now, I'm going to be playing some comments from Congressman Derek Van Orden, essentially trashing America's military leadership and what that says about him. Somebody who loves to talk about his record of service as a Navy SEAL, but he's also an elected official now. He's a member of Congress. He's a member of Congress who's been stomping all over people's First Amendment rights while thoroughly exercising his. But what does it say when he makes the kind of comments that he made this week about the current leadership of America's military? The word whining comes to mind. We're also going to talk about the former Waukesha teacher who was dismissed because she posted on social media about how the school district wouldn't allow the Dolly Parton song Rainbow Land to be played in a school concert. Well, she will not be able to sue the district for violating her First Amendment rights. The lawsuit was dismissed by a federal judge who said that although Melissa Temple was speaking as a private citizen on a matter of public concern, her tweet disrupted the district's operations, so its interest took precedence in this case, to which I respond, are you kidding me? Why is it so dangerous to be a teacher posting on social media their opinions? We will have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel coming in here at about 7:35 to talk about that issue. We'll also have Chicago talk radio legend Joan Esposito joining us as well for our Week in Review panel, what with federal troops on the ground in Chicago, ICE raids. My goodness, a Black Hawk helicopter apparently at one point was brought in to do a raid. We literally have black helicopters from big government coming in and seizing people not yet charged with any crimes. Isn't this exactly what we were warned about for decades by conservatives? And that's why they wanted their Second Amendment rights so forcefully enforced. And now they're the ones with the big government and the black helicopters doing the raids. Yeah, we're going to have some things to say about that in our Week in Review panel time as well. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here, as we always do on Fridays. We have a pretty prominent influencer, I guess is the modern day term, in progressive politics, saying that, you know, maybe Democrats need to be more welcoming of potential political candidates who aren't entirely in favor of women's full reproductive health care rights. Again, it gets an are you kidding me from folks, and I think Dr. Lyerly might be one of them, so we'll talk more about that at 8:05. And then, of course, Mike Clemens will be along to talk more about the Brewers taking on the Cubs in the National League Division Series starting tomorrow afternoon. Remember, you can follow Up North News and all that we do through our newsletters, our weekday version and our Sunday morning version that focuses on politics. But as for today's edition, Ellie Bordeaux introduces a new section called Locals Love. And it's where people send in small businesses from their town, and she'll pick one to feature in the newsletter every Friday. So she is soliciting photos of your favorite small business, one that you'd like to highlight. Say a little bit about it, why it's your favorite. It might be a restaurant. It might be a cafe. She writes here, maybe a boutique. I would put tavern, you know, or whatever you call your local watering hole. So whatever that is, you can send it into Ellie through the newsletter and maybe see those small businesses highlighted on Fridays. But again, to get that, sign up for the newsletter, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. At some point, we may also ask the burning question, are you ready for Governor Tommy Thompson in 2026? Because apparently the former governor from, you know, the 80s and 90s is not ruling out the potential of running for governor again next year. That could be a topic. Meanwhile, we're down here in Nashville, and we did a little sampler platter, Parker, of some of the saloons, the honky-tonks, the watering holes. Maybe that's not the right way to put it. The mega bars, because all of these places are huge along Broadway. They're like 3-4 levels with rooftops, and unlike, say, you go to like Bourbon Street and like every bar has a live band, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Here it's like every one of these places has like 3 or 4 live bands, each on a different level of the place. Yeah. I mean, there's bands everywhere. There's live music everywhere down here.
That's sick. I want to go to Nashville.
And the age range, it's not just a bunch of teeny boppers. I mean, there are sure. million bachelorette parties down here.
Oh God.
But yeah. But there's folks of all ages. Everybody's very friendly to each other. You know, if you're politically minded like me, there's awkwardness. I mean, first we walked into the Jason Aldean place, and then we walked into the Morgan Wallen place, and then we walked into the Kid Rock place. And I was like, what, was Lee Greenwood not available? Does he not have a bar here in Nashville? But if you set that aside, there's some awfully nice places. The one that Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood have is lovely. There's Miranda Lambert. There's Luke Bryan. They all have places, and everybody packs in there because you never know when you're going to get like this special cameo appearance.
Oh, they're at their own bar. Wow.
Yeah. But instead you got a lot of, newcomer bands. Well, we think they're newcomers. They've probably been, you know, working for years and years to try to catch a big break. Yeah. But when some of them, you know, like I asked about this one band, you know, again, they're all young people, the young lady, as I would call them at my age, you know, is singing songs from like 20 years before she was born, which raises this question. If you're singing a song from like 20 years before you're born, does that officially make you an oldies band? Because that's what I'm, is that what I'm hearing now?
Okay.
Is an oldies band?
Well, Pat, think about it for a second. If I were to sing something from 20 years ago, that would be from early 2000s. Are you calling early 2000s music oldies?
It's getting there quickly, believe me. So, and still ahead, we will have this week's visit by Greg Bach for today's history lesson, which includes Hank Aaron, Robin Yount, Bobby Thompson, and Mr. Ed. All that and more here live on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Nashville. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right. right, so now we're back on this Friday morning, and of course, Kia Vakil is here, Courier Newsroom's national political editor, and we have to give away the secret that we're recording this before midnight. I can assure you, though, Kia is staying awake and probably already has a bootleg copy of Life of a Showgirl. although, again, it came out at midnight Eastern time, so what's that, 9 p.m.? You're staying up till 9 p.m. to download the album, aren't you?
No, I will not be.
Oh, come on. I had you pegged as a Swiftie for sure.
You know, that is one of the most offensive things you've ever said to me.
Okay, well, you know, I had to take a shot. I would have been so pleasantly surprised to hear you gush about all these bangers coming out from Tay-Tay, and it's not to be.
Listen, I appreciate her talents as an artist. I find the amount of attention she gets to be deeply annoying, and I want nothing to do with it. I want to unsubscribe from all things related to Taylor Swift.
But you know what? Nice distraction. You know, there are things that are intentional distractions in our political news world, and then there are the, you know, the pleasant distractions, and this one's kind of in that category. But let's get back to the thing that we're all begging for distractions from, but we can't, because this is serious stuff with the government being shut down and with Republicans at the moment holding firm in their desire to hike healthcare costs for Americans. And, you know, to have a shutdown that they've tried every excuse, every line to somehow blame this shutdown on Democrats. But poll after poll after poll shows Americans really know what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, look, do I think most Americans are paying attention to the ins and outs of Washington, D.C. or what the shutdown? No. Absolutely not. A very small minority are aware of what's happening. But most Americans do know that Trump is president. They do know that Republicans control Congress. And so, you know, when a government shuts down, usually, and one party controls everything, that's kind of 1 + 1 = 2. You know, Republicans have all the power. They do need some Democratic votes in the Senate to pass a budget or a spending bill. And they have shown less than no interest in negotiating to get those votes. So, you know, if you refuse to negotiate, refute when you need their votes. If you insist that you're just going to destroy Democratic agencies and inflict as much pain as possible on Democrats, the politics of that are pretty straightforward. Like, you're going to cause a lot of harm, but when you're gloating about it, it's pretty clear who's driving the shutdown. So I don't actually think Republicans are going to win this political argument. The problem is how much damage are they going to do before they lose it?
Yeah. I mean, there's been ample reports of Republicans recognizing that, you know, they could support a 1 or 2 year extension to the Affordable Care Act, you know, subsidies or, you know, enhancements that make these things not so costly. They want to avoid the sticker shock, but yeah, they're not going to move right away, of course, because, I mean, goodness, heaven forbid you try to do things that would be right for most Americans rather than for your own political image. But the thing that gets to me, Kia, is the way that they are trying all these different lines. I mean, they've tried calling it welfare for health insurance companies, as if they've ever, you know, stood up against health insurance companies before. They've tried calling it welfare for wealthy families. But I think the one that is the most blatant to me, Kia, is the one all about, you know, illegals getting health care. That's what Democrats want. Essentially, this is the new they're eating the dogs line out of Republicans, isn't it?
100%. It's, I mean, any problem that exists in this country, according to Republicans, is the fault of undocumented immigrants. And remember last year, every policy proposal, whether it was housing or healthcare, it was once we get rid of all these quote unquote illegals, all your problems will be solved. That's the J.D. Vance Donald Trump approach. It's total BS. These are structural problems that have massive, that need real solutions, not just scapegoating. Undocumented immigrants do not get Affordable Care Act coverage. They are not what Vance is referring to and distorting is that, yes, there is a law on the books and has been for decades that if people show up to the ER for care, doctors are supposed to treat them so they don't, you know, die. But that has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. That has nothing to do with Medicaid. It's trying to prevent people from dying. Whether you're an undocumented immigrant, a documented immigrant, an American citizen, I would like to think that most people don't just want people to die on the stoop of a hospital. The people who get the ACA are by and large poor, working class, middle class Americans. A lot of them are small business owners and entrepreneurs, people who support Republicans. They are about to see their premiums double, in some places maybe triple. Some of them are going to lose their coverage. And, you know, Democrats are trying to fight to prevent that. You could have issues with maybe the strategy there, but like by and large, they're trying to protect healthcare for several million people. And Republicans are just shrugging and being like, that's cute. I don't care.
Because of all the, you know, national resources of Courier Newsroom, obviously we've talked about the shutdown here in Wisconsin, the impact on it, as you've looked at some of our colleagues in other states. I'm sure there's a lot of similar themes, number of federal employees, the national parks, the farmers, the anybody that relies on certain government paperwork from like the IRS or whatever. But are there other, you know, common threads that you see in stories from around Courier Newsroom reporters about the impact of this federal shutdown in its early days?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is for the time being, the impact is minimal, but you wait a week, you wait 2 weeks, paychecks aren't coming, you wait 3 weeks. This is a shutdown that could go on for a month, maybe more. The last one went on for over a month, and the politics of this one are much uglier. And I wouldn't be surprised if this drags on for several months, to be honest, because that means a lot of federal workers are going to not get paid for weeks, months at a time. That's how do you do that? People are going to need to quit and take other jobs. The pressure is going to build. But right now, the impacts are like people starting to worry about those missed paychecks. That is what we're starting to hear about, because people did get paid a couple days ago. Most places pay, you know, end in middle of the month. But towards mid-October, when that first paycheck isn't coming, I think we're going to start to see a lot more worries about that.
So a lot to follow from our reporters. And Kia Vakil stays on top of that all for us as national political editor out on the West Coast. Kia, thank you very much. Enjoy the Taylor album. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you later. Welcome to today's history lesson, where again we're still in TV premiere season, and it was on this day that CBS premiered Mr. Ed. On this day in 1961, a show about a talking horse. I don't know. I've seen what's on TV nowadays. I can't complain. Greg Bach is here because it's a Friday, everybody. Mr. Bach, he is just looking resplendent in his Brewers. Is that a hoodie they got there, sir?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Full sleeves, too.
I know. Full sleeves and everything.
Dressed up.
You are good to go. How are you?
I'm doing quite okay. My stomach hurts now because of the NLDS. I'm not going to lie. I want to say I'm doing good, but uh-huh.
Yeah, Tony's with you on YouTube. He's like, I'm all in for the Cubs hate. So.
If I can stop feeling this sense of tumult within my body and just I can just channel it as dislike towards Chicago and or their Northside baseball team, I'm fine. Yes. Fine.
Alicia says the State Patrol, the Wisconsin State Patrol, has a photo with a spike strip, a sign saying no fibs, and saying they are closing I-94 at Kenosha.
Wow.
Love okay. It.
I just became aggressive. A way bigger fan of State Patrol.
Yeah. Big, yes. That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, while we're doing talking baseball, we've got a few baseball notes in today's history lesson. It was on this day in 1982 that Robin Yount homered twice as the Brewers beat Baltimore on the road to win their first ever division championship. The then American League East champs would, of course, go on to play in the World Series. It was on this day in 1976 that Hank Aaron hit a single for the Brewers in his final major league at bat. It became his 2,297th run batted in. And do you know where that is on the all-time RBI list today? It's still number one. He is still the all-time RBI leader.
Oh, yeah.
Hank. I did not have this one, but of course, you know, Rogers on top with everything here. Let me get the note correct here. It was 1 year ago today, the Mets defeated the Brewers to win the wild card series 2-1. All right, Roger, there's a reason I didn't put that one in there.
All right, thanks, Roger.
One more baseball note, not from the Brewers, but from this day in 1951 was the shot heard round the world by Bobby Thompson of the New York Giants, hitting a three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth for the Giants to beat the Brooklyn Dodgers, have a big late-season comeback, and it led to this historic moment for both baseball and radio broadcasting. At the end of the season, part of the reason that was so thrilling for Giants fans is in the last month plus of the season, the Giants went 37-7 to make it all the way back, catch the Dodgers, and then beat them in a playoff to win that particular big time baseball game. So anyway, shot heard around the world this day in 1951. Getting back to the musical memories, School of Rock opened in theaters this day in 2003. We got a little something off the soundtrack there, Parker, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I knew Greg would like this. Starring Jack Black as a musician who poses as a substitute teacher and forms a band with his students. I would love to see Greg do this.
I would do that. I would get kids into a band and teach them. That'd be fun.
Oh, you teach them things all right. Absolutely. It was, let's see, on this day in 1992 that Sinead O'Connor appeared on Saturday Night Live, ended a song, tore up a picture of Pope John Paul II, and declared, "Fight the real enemy," before walking off stage and into a controversy that followed her to and through her death 2 years ago at the age of 56. And that all happened on this day in 1992. A birthday greeting to former member of Fleetwood Mac, Lindsey Buckingham.
Imagine being so hard to work with that the members of Fleetwood Mac are like, you know, in this cash grab and these twilight years of our career, no, thank you. You're not a part of this anymore.
We don't want you. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, you can afford separate tour buses. You can afford separate hotels. You don't have to look at or talk to each other. But Lindsey Buckingham was so toxic. They're like, no.
I mean, even Journey, which had a kind of a nasty breakup with Steve Perry, if I'm not mistaken, for their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, he had to come in from one side of the stage. The rest of the band came in from the other side of the stage.
God,
but at least they met at the podium and said a few words. I don't even think that Lindsey Buckingham could do that much with the rest of Fleetwood Mac. And I don't know all the particulars. I just know that apparently he's a horrible person. Good songwriter, good musician, horrible person.
And last time I checked, hold on, I'm just checking my notes here.
Yeah, those are a lot of notes.
He's an adult, so.
So he has agency not to be that terrible.
No.
But anyway, on this day in 1990, East Germany was abolished and reunited with the West as the newly reunited Federal Republic of Germany. Here's a weird little calendar coincidence, both involving O.J. Simpson. On this day in 1995, he was acquitted of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. But on this day in 2008, he was found guilty of charges of kidnapping and armed robbery. And I guess he and Lindsey Buckingham could talk a bit about being terrible people.
Well, O.J. Simpson was actually going to play guitar for Fleetwood Mac for a while, but then he passed away and that just fell through. So
I guess, yeah. Let's see. Happy birthday to Keb Mo, who is 74 years old today. And here we are, standing on the brink of disaster. Apologies to Kate Duffy and anybody from Motherhood for Good if they're listening, because that used to be their walk-up music. And I imagine, wait, am I supposed to be on the radio right now? Nope, just just for Kev Mo's birthday today.
I feel like with that song, though, it's be like, put a woman in charge. And then there's a caveat of all the women you cannot put in charge. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Laura Loomer.
Yes,
all on the list, ladies. Sorry, you're a lady, but you don't get to run this. Sorry, you're just as bad as all the men. Bye.
Yep, it's not. It's not put any woman in charge. No.
Yeah, exactly. Put certain women in charge.
It just doesn't fit as well into a song lyric, but we understood what he was saying. A lot of other musical birthdays today. Chubby Checker is 84 years old today. I am surprised to tell you that Tommy Lee is still with us and celebrating his 63rd birthday today from Motley Crue. Yeah. Chris Collingwood from Fountains of Wayne is 58 years old today. Gwen Stefani is 56 today. Happy birthday to her. Kevin Richardson. Do you know the name Kevin Richardson?
Of course I do.
You do? I wouldn't have. Backstreet Boys, he's 54 years old today. And India Ari is 50 years old today. And one more melancholy one, and that, of course, would be Stevie Ray Vaughan, who was born this day 71 years ago.
Oh, he'd be 71?
Yeah, and you know what? He'd still be a better guitar player than almost anybody else, so...
I remember the morning he died. I remember the morning it was reported. I woke up early and I turned on MTV so my parents couldn't hear because I wasn't allowed to watch MTV. And I saw that and I wasn't the biggest fan of his yet. And then, but I was still like, oh, that sucks.
Oh, I know. It was just sad stuff after the concert at Alpine Valley. But Stevie Ray Vaughan, that was back in 1990, born this day in 1954. Parker, we've given Parker not just the new duties of finding some entertainment and feature stories for the segment, but he's now the one looking at the national day calendar to see what are the various holidays that are out there. So, Parker, what day is it today?
It's Mean Girls Day, Pat.
Again, don't put just any woman in charge.
Exactly. Yes.
The song was originally called "Put a Woman in Charge" from this curated list in binders that I have here.
Women in binders, yes.
Yeah.
That's an old
reference for you folks.
Thank you, Mitt Romney. Yes, exactly.
I'm
guessing this must be the anniversary of Mean Girls coming out as a movie.
I actually don't know if it was, but I assume that too.
I'm not going to put you in charge of this calendar anymore if you're not going to get all the juicy details for us.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
What else do we have today?
The movie came out over 21 years ago today.
Yes.
It's not even like a thing. It's
Well, I don't know.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Tony letting us know, deep cut, I'm guessing on the Mitt Romney reference because Parker made that hand motion of the hand way over his head. Nothing.
We have binders of women. What did you just say?
Uh-huh. Binders of women. That is a line of all time. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, it's also World Smile Day. So, hey, Greg, when you come here, you make me smile. I like it when you're here.
Thanks, buddy.
Didn't know it was National Pour on the Schmaltz to make somebody smile day. Well, sure. We'll go with that.
Whatever.
And Pat doesn't understand how to compute joy and happiness and compliments sometimes.
Does not compute. It can't cut through the sarcasm.
Bleep, blorp, blorp, bleep.
It's also National Manufacturing Week.
Okay. So and there's one more day I want to mention here, too. What is it?
It's Kids Music Day.
Kids Music Day.
Oh, no.
And haven't we all taken just kind of when you see all of the is it Kids Bop, you know, where they take top 40 tunes, pop tunes and make them kid friendly. And haven't we all cringed at some point going, I don't know if I would have changed that into something kid-friendly, necessarily.
When it was an adult version, it was inappropriate. Now it's just creepy.
which brings me back to what I talked about at the top of the hour about the new Taylor Swift album.
Oh, that's right.
For the love of God, Kids Bop, don't do it with that one. There's one song on the album that is extremely friendly toward her fiancé, Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's probably going to get played on the radio a lot, and it's a matter of you can't bleep it because the words aren't dirty, but, I mean, how many ways can you say what she's saying in there? So just keep that in mind for Kids Music Day. You don't have to make every song kid-friendly, even if it's got a good beat and you can dance to it. sometimes the lyrics might get in the way. So,
what is this? It's an instrumental version. It's great. It's just.
Wait, isn't this Taylor Swift song Wood? No, it's not. Don't look up the lyrics. No, absolutely not. No,
I looked up the lyrics after you told me not to, Pat.
You said you weren't going to, and then you did. And
you will
never use a certain phrase the same ever again.
Did you ruin our little Parker? Did you ruin him?
He's corrupted me.
Well, he sent a little something back with the phrase "knock on wood," and I'm like, "Oh, you're never going to use that phrase again." Well, once you look at that, so
folks, it's been fun. I'm never coming back.
Yep. That all is part of the new Taylor Swift album that dropped. So we'll wrap up the music segment with that. In asking Greg, I mean, now that we've intrigued you, are you going to download it? Or are you going to be one of those who will just, I'll just have to hear about it from everybody else?
No, of course I'm going to download it. Taylor Swift record. Of course I'm going to download it.
There you see, Parker.
Listen to it. I'm going to listen to the whole thing this weekend.
There you go.
I'm going to listen to her diss of Charlie XCX, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh. I was unaware.
Tony says, next thing you know, he's going to start drinking coffee. Yes, that good. We're
doing the brewer's tumbler to do it from now.
You know what? Fine. Both of you are great, and I'm not. Fine. I get it.
Wait, what?
You got a brewer's hoodie. You're great. Then we got our week in review panel coming up after the 7 o'clock news as well with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And Joan Esposito, Chicago Talk Radio legend, will be joining us to look at the weekend headline or the week's past headlines. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You know, things were going so well. It's a Friday morning. Greg Bach is here. Parker Olson's producing things in Madison. I'm in Nashville. We've got the Brewers knowing they're going to play the Cubs. We got the Taylor Swift album. And everything was working out great until you told me that Luke Mathers had texted in to say something about the show. I go look at the show chat, and Google has locked me out. And I don't have my password stuff here handy. So, Parker, you're going to have to tell me. Did Luke
Luke,
is he unhappy with us? Is he unhappy with Greg? Because usually he's mad at Greg.
He is. I think he's probably a little upset with us because we didn't understand why today was Mean Girls Day.
Okay, why is today Mean Girls Day?
Because apparently in the movie, and I have seen this once, and it was a long time ago. I don't remember this at all, so I have no idea who these characters are.
Okay.
On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was. And then he said, it's October 3rd.
Yeah, it's really a lot of setup for not a lot of payoff here. and then he tries to smack us down by saying, you guys even internet? And I'm like, this isn't the brag you think it is. Okay, cool.
Okay, well.
So there you go. Now we've been educated.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. And it's all because Google won't leave you locked in. This is one of my new pet peeves is the look, I get passwords. I get cybersecurity and all that. But when something says after you put your password in, should we remember this device? And you say yes,
it should
remember your device and not like arbitrarily go, oh, you know, you're going to have to verify this again.
And
you said you promised.
And on top of that, too, I agree with what you just said as far as security, safety. I'm really all for two-factor notifications if it needs to happen. Sure. But Google will just sign you out in the middle of you doing something too. Yeah. It's not even a you're done with it, you come back, oh, I gotta sign back, and it's I'm working right now, oh, you've been signed out. What do you mean? This is not security. This is annoying.
Yes. All right, there we go. Look at us on our rocking chairs, just shaking our fist with Google.
Back in my day, there were two Germanys. All right.
back when we could all have a password that said password. and then it had to be password with an exclamation point. And then it just got ridiculous after that.
What's my password? Mind your business.
Do you ever do that? Do you make passwords that are like passive aggressive? Things like that?
No, I can't. Oh. I can't because I'll never remember that. I have four passwords I use. They're very like, and they are They always pass the strength test on anything I have to sign up or sign in for.
Yeah.
But if I have to, if I go any, and I refuse to allow Google to suggest one because I know something will go wrong. And I'm like, well, I can't remember 38 characters that mostly are X's and exclamation points. So yeah. So I can't get snarky in the password.
A couple.
I sometimes have when again, I've gotten really bothered and I'll look at my password list and some of, a lot of them are based on things that I cannot control all delete out of my brain, like old phone numbers, you know? I mean, my grandmother's phone number is the basis for a few passwords.
Todd Nike 785.
Exactly. No, but sometimes there's one in there. There's one that's like, I hate company name so much, exclamation point or something like that. So
no.
Parker, you do that?
You got a better brain than me.
A couple of weeks ago, we had to make a new account for audition for Dom and I because we both started at the same time. We needed
audio editing software.
We needed audio editing stuff. So, and I made the account. And I just went with the suggested strong password at first. Uh-oh. And Luke goes, did you make the password really easy so that he can log into it really quick? Am I? Oh.
Well, you know what?
No.
And the game begins.
Well, you know where that really comes into play? Your home Wi-Fi. When I set it up initially, I gave it a very complex thing that I knew I would remember, and I have it written down. But how many times have we had people come to the house and they want to use the Wi-Fi? They bring their laptop or their phone or whatever. And like, let me get this piece of paper out so you can put in all this stuff. It's like, you should just.
The home Wi-Fi doesn't need to be complex.
Well, do you know your neighbors?
Well,
I've seen
my router's not that good. They're not getting on my Wi-Fi.
I did that once with the Wi-Fi name I got snarky with, and then I realized, I'm like, oh, I'm being a jerkbag about this. So how about I just not, like, I'll name, I we have a Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. It's locked. If you want the password, I'll give it to you. But the whole, my Wi-Fi, not yours, shut up.
Oh, yeah, there's some very hostile Wi-Fi names that are out there, you know, and the ones that they make up things like, you know, FBI security van or, you know, things like that. We all find creative outlets where we can, but don't overthink it, folks. Just make a nice, easy to use home Wi-Fi password for when you have company.
You'll find some funny Wi-Fi names when you go to a college campus.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, I probably can't repeat them either.
Nope.
I was going to say, I mean, you set us up like that, and then you can't share any of them, Parker, can you?
No, I cannot.
Thanks, Parker.
No. I would just like you to know.
Yeah. All right, Greg, what do you got happening with the comedy scene in Milwaukee? You're my Milwaukee comedy guru.
Next week, Tuesday, starts the 20th annual Milwaukee Comedy Festival, kicking off at Lakefront Brewery with Aparna Nansherla. We also, the following night at the Cooperage, we have Sean Patton. Then we have Punky Johnson from SNL at Shank Hall on that Friday. And then on Thursday, I'm saving the biggest for last, I would say, no offense to the other three, but we have Patton Oswalt at Pabst Theater will be headlining for the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. And that will, then the rest of the weekend will be amazing comedians throughout the city and great shows happening. If you want to find out more, go to mkecomedyfest.com for tickets and for information. We have, I think, seven shows? No. No, we have a lot of shows. We have a lot of shows. A lot of shows.
A lot of shows. That's all you need to know. Okay.
Yeah, it's too early in the morning to computate numbers right now, but mkecomedyfest.com. But we have great headliners. It's going to be a lot of fun. 20th anniversary. Come on out. See me. Let's high five.
There you go. mkecomedyfest.com is the place to go. Yeah. Thank you, Greg. Love these weekend visits. Hope your weekend is awesome.
I hope your weekend is amazing. Go Brewers.
It's going to be. All right. Thank you, sir. Good to see you. Our weekly panel this week includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and Chicago radio legend Joan Esposito. They'll be along in the next hour here, live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Greifel.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.